American Dirt is a novel by American author Janine Cummins. It tells the story of a Mexican woman from Acapulco attempting to escape to the United States with her son after her investigative reporter husband is killed by a powerful and vindictive drug boss. The novel became a massive bestseller in the United States last year, particularly as it was picked up by Oprah Winfrey and promoted through her book club. But controversy ensued with accusations of racial stereotyping and cultural appropriation levelled at the author and publisher. With me in studio this evening to talk about the novel itself and the ensuing controversy, Patrick Frayne and Chiamaka Enyiamadi, both of whom have read the novel. Let's just deal with the novel as a starting point, Patrick. It's a story of a woman who flees Acapulco with her son because the drug cartel is after her.
Like, in a lot of ways, it's a very satisfying plot for a novel, and it's very simple as a plot for a novel. It starts with a horrendous scene of violence in which 15 people die, and then your main character, Lydia Perez, and her 8-year-old son kind of have to instantly go on the run. And then you get some of her story told in kind of flashback sections.
Yeah.
And most of the story is a kind of travel story about them kind of hitting the migrant trail and kind of all the horrors on the way. Like, they follow, they have to jump trains, they have to avoid very dangerous people, they have to go across a terrible desert. And you can kind of see why this was so successful in America right now, because obviously issues of migration are right to the fore, and there's a current administration that are really clamping down on migration from Mexico.
Let me just ask you, Chiamaka, a little bit about it then, because that gives us the kind of the basis of the plot. Now, there's the political aspect of the migration story and how that's handled. Let's put that again to the one side for the moment. Essentially, we're looking at a kind of thriller here. You know, a page turner, flip, flip, flip. What happens? Are they going to get out of this tight spot? At that level, how did the book read for you?
I thought the book read marvelously as a thriller. I mean, it starts literally with the main plot, which is the murder of 16 members of Lydia's and Lucas's family, including his father and her husband. So immediately you're taken into the main character's like life and their psychological life, and we see how they're handling the shock, or perhaps just not handling it, because they kind of go into this arrested mode of not being able to deal with it because they have to try and get away from the main source of danger, which is the drug cartel being led by Xavier.
Javier. And do we spend much time in Acapulco? Are we there for a long time?
We're
or are they on the move fairly quickly?
They're on the move fairly quickly. I mean, Lydia just grabs a bunch of sentimental stuff, but also practical stuff from her husband and her mother's bags and room. I found that there were little tidbits and details, like her going through her mother's wardrobe and grabbing, I think it was a pair of like golden laced Snickers, just things like that, I think brought like a nice sort of sentimentality into the narrative. So I liked that.
So far so good. You're enjoying this thriller.
Yeah.
So when did it start to, because I think for both of you that it started to go wrong at a certain point. Let's stay with you for a moment, Chiamaka. When did it start to go wrong for you?
It started to go wrong for me when we see Luca, the 8-year-old son of Lydia, sort of taking on this like parentified role, which happens a lot in trauma, a response, especially for young people. And he starts to act as sort of the hero of the story. Although that's something that happens a lot, it didn't read very realistic. I think it was perhaps just like a...
Was he a little too...
It was a bit too smart for an 8-year-old, yeah. And we, you know, the novel gives us a lot of background about like how he's very intelligent and how he's very... He has a lot of geographical understanding of landscapes and how he can recite, you know, all the states of the United States and
like
the rivers. I know that's a nice like party trick. But the way that he responds, I think, to the trauma and the way that he tries to support his mother as they plan their escape route is is too exaggerated.
Even purely for fiction. Yeah, in thriller terms. We're still not into the politics of it. I think
it would be hard to watch that on television.
Yeah. Okay.
And it is being made into
a movie. And it is being made into a film.
Yeah, so we'll see how we manage to watch it. I think it may have gone wrong, even in just a petty way. I know you said that this is a petty thing for you, but she's a bookseller. Lydia is a bookseller who suddenly is, you know, the all-action hero.
Briefly say what works really well about it is it's really well paced, and that's very difficult to do. So there's a good sense of danger and a sense of, and there's often really good writing about trauma, and that's done quite well. There's a bunch of things that bother me before we even get onto the controversy about the book. I found the backstory a little silly. Like the idea, like if you're going to tell a story about an experience that millions of people are experiencing, like illegal migration or migration unofficially into across borders, there are a lot more plausible ways to do it than in Lydia's backstory is that she's a bookseller who has this strange, unbelievable friendship with a very bookish cartel boss.
So the Javier loves books as well. Sure. How could you be a drug dealer if you love books?
And there's a kind of weird thing. I think there's a kind of fetish amongst some novelists for people who love books, in a sense that, sure, how could somebody who loves books be all bad? And sure, we all know people who love, we all know terrible people who love books.
Who you're talking about.
So that bothered me as a basic kind of concept. I thought it kind of overcomplicates the story. In a way, there are much more straightforward reasons people could go on the run. The actual story of them, of their movement from place to place, I think is done very, very well. I think there are elements of plausibility, which is partly where the controversy.
Let's get on into the nuts and bolts of the controversy then, not least of which is Janine Cummins, identified totally and absolutely as white up until the publication of this book, when suddenly we heard about her Puerto Rican grandfather, I think it was.
Grandmother, I beg your pardon.
And also the fact that her husband...
He's an Irish migrant.
Well, we heard that he was an illegal immigrant. We didn't hear he was Irish, I think, until... And she certainly, in her author's note at the end of the book, she doesn't tell us he's Irish. She tells us
she kind of glosses over that fact.
Yeah.
He's the good kind of immigrant.
So what do you feel around the accusations of cultural appropriation that are being levelled against Janine Cummins?
I think it leads back to what you were saying about just having that she could have used a much more plausible backstory. I think that she wanted to construct a binary understanding of a life of a middle class person versus the life of a migrant. And it shows how removed she is from the experiences of the millions of Mexican and South American migrants that cross the border to the US yearly.
So her presumption is that all of these migrants are coming
her
from
presumption,
poor, uneducated background.
Her presumption is that there is a massive divide between someone who is middle class and someone who is a migrant. And she speaks of this book as a bridge between those two life experiences and life modes. Because for her, she cannot conceive of someone who perhaps could be both.
Yeah.
So that's the appropriation level.
I think that's where it starts from. It just shows how removed she is, and it shows why this book is a work of appropriation, because she's so removed from the experience.
And I wouldn't be somebody who'd say that it's impossible for somebody who hasn't had experiences to write well about it, but there is a real feeling she hasn't done her homework. Mm-hmm. And one of the problems is there's a lack of nuance in the writing. So whereas the thrillery element of the book, and actually one of the other problems is it was kind of really pushed as like a new Grapes of Wrath, and it's just not that kind of book. It's actually, it is more like Grapes of Wrath by John Grisham, you know. One of the problems with her lack of research, and I do believe there's a lack of research.
Now, she maintains she researched it very
thoroughly. 5 years.
Yeah. It's hard to believe.
That's a PhD.
Yeah. It feels like she didn't really talk to people. Like, there's a few kind of token things, like there's a lot of Spanish words on the page.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of garnishes, like pine nuts in a salad.
Yeah.
But they're not.
They don't do much.
There's no meat.
And there's no sense of... there's no sense of kind of nuance about the people she meets. Everyone is a baddie or a goodie. Mm-hmm. There's a kind of, it's this really dark story told that paints Mexico and a lot of kind of Latin American countries as terrible, terrible right. places, and America is this place.
Right, and the reaction of a lot of Latinx, both critics yeah. and readers, has, first of all, Oprah gave it this rave saying, this is the best book yeah. ever, you got to read it. But then she kind of wrote back from that when she, let's have a listen to what she, so she wrote back a little bit. First of all, she recommended it, you know, wholeheartedly. Then the controversy started about, people were saying, hold on a minute, what's going on here? Why is this woman writing this story? And here's how Oprah then decided to move on from, say, it's not still saying it's a great book, but adding these kind of caveats.
So when I first started to hear your comments opposing the selection, I was asking the question in earnest, like, what is offensive? I've spent the past few days listening to members of the Latinx community to get a greater understanding of their concerns. And I hear them, I do. So what I wanna do is bring people together from all sides to talk about this book and who gets to publish what stories. And I'm hoping that that is going to resonate with many of you and your concerns. And this is gonna stream on Apple TV Plus in March. And I think it's gonna allow us to open up the conversation in unexpected and, I really hope, meaningful ways.
Good old Oprah manages to get in Apple TV Plus.
Oprah has great PR machine behind her.
She's a great PR machine inside her.
Never mind,
behind her. But she does raise, I suppose, a reasonable point there in that
she does.
Now let's all sit down and talk about this. Yeah. Talk about, is that not a good thing? Is that a positive outcome, or is it a very peculiar way to get a positive outcome?
I think this is where sort of liberals get a bad name, is because a lot of our social justice work is all about talking. But I think we have come to the point now where we have to move beyond talking. There has to be economic ramifications of these yeah. kinds of usurpation of marginalized people's narratives and their experiences. Because think about it. So she spent 5 years on this project, right? And her justification for it is that because of her background, of the trauma that her family is experiencing, you know, with her sister and brother being killed.
She had deaths in her trauma, were very formative.
And then her own experience, you know, being the spouse of an immigrant, regardless of, you know, whether they're Irish or whatever. So she felt that it was her moral responsibility to bring this story to the forefront. So as someone who, she's a writer and she has written about her, you know, progressive views on representation, what she should have done is that she should have embarked on an anthology project where she spent those 5 years researching around academic institutions, researching around cultural institutions, and just researching within community spaces, looking for Latino and Latinx writers, and then commissioning them, getting funding from large publishing houses, because she's a known writer.
But she's a writer. Is that the job of the publisher rather than the writer?
No, I'm a writer, but I edited an anthology project called Writing Home with Daedalus Press. And that was about gathering just poetry from new Irish writers, people who have experienced migration and people who have experienced their identities changing. You know, being, you know, Afro-Irish or being American-Irish or being Polish-Irish, you know, because it's a different identity than just being Irish.
Let's hear what Janine Cummins herself, she answered, she was, I suppose, answering this accusation that, and she does say in her afternote, again, in the book, she points out that, you know, she was nervous about, she wasn't sure if it was right for her to tell this story. She talks about speaking to a woman who was chair of the Chicana and Chicano Studies Department in San Diego State University, asking her advice on it, and that she was encouraged by her to go ahead on it, to go ahead and to write the book, that it was important. And here's Cummins herself talking about why she feels she did do the right thing.
Look, I think it's a very important conversation, and it's been simmering for a very long time. It's true that voices of color and women's voices have been sort of devalued and hijacked. It's very problematic. It's a problem in the industry. But it's also true that you can't fight fascism with fascism. And I feel like, you know, there is a danger. It's a slippery slope. We don't want to exchange one set of gatekeepers for another set of gatekeepers who gets to decide which voices matter and which voices don't.
That's a very strong statement. We don't fight fascism with fascism. And the publishers in their statements have spoken about how they're very disappointed that, in fact, the very people that this was supposed to be championing, i.e. the Latinx community, that they're the very people that are attacking Janine Cummins.
It's a little
both dangerous, but it's also... But does she have a point?
She does not have a point. Her point is that her economic gain was more important than her social justice project.
Is that a little harsh?
I think you have to call a spade, right? Just because books like this will sell regardless of all of the...
Yeah, it's in the bestsellers
list. Social justice PR behind it. She could have just written this book as, you know, the writer of The Help did, you know, a decade ago, in I think 2012.
But there were similar troubles around that, weren't there?
But afterwards, not during or before.
Right.
So America would have accepted this book because it is a thriller and it deals with a topic that is often on the news.
So I think that she's disingenuous there, because the reality is there's a film being made out of it. She got a seven-figure advance for it. And every bookshop I've been in over the last week, it's been in the top-selling list. Mm. So she's not really going... The book is selling. People are reading it. The problem is, in a way, she is a little bit of a scapegoat for the industry, but there needs to be one. The reality is there's an awful lot of... In the afterword as well, if you read it, you'd think there was no other writers who could have written this.
Precisely.
And the reality is that she's... There are plenty of people out there who are unrepresented by the industry, and her book is just kind of insult to those people. Maybe the success of the book is an insult to those people. I think if this was a minor book that hadn't done that well, she would not be experiencing this now, and she wouldn't have any money.
What does this mean? Or will this have an effect on the stories that the writers might want or decide that they have the right or the right to tell, or they don't have the right to tell? Do you think it'll have an effect on that internationally?
All writers have a responsibility. Like, there's a great quote from Kit DeWall, "Don't dip your pen in other people's blood." And I do think, you know, fiction is about embodying people that
you
necessarily haven't experienced,
that you write about.
But if you are writing about other people's trauma, there's a huge responsibility to get that right. And there's also, you've no right to everyone loving it. And her problem now is that an awful lot of people have criticised her. Her problem is not that she's being censored. Her problem is not that the book is being pulled. In fact, Oprah is still going to showcase the book in a discussion, which is, in a way, the exact kind of result she should be happy with.
Yeah, and I think
I think that she would be a happier person if she just came out and said, "Guys, I am a bourgeois feminist. Accept me for who I am." Because we accept so many rich people who, and we buy their products. But we don't need all this social justice sort of a veneer on top of it.
So is that
just
the bit that...
You can't expect woke clout but not want to do woke work. You can't want to people to call you a social justice warrior but not do social justice work. Just take your money and go home. You don't have to bring all of this.
So are you annoyed at the fact that her book tour now is not going to be her just going out and sitting on stage with somebody being interviewed and saying what a great book it is? She's now said that she will actually use those, and the publishers have said that those book tours will actually be about the Oprah type of discussion, where those, and there were 142 writers, I think, that wrote a letter saying that, you know, they should be pulled.
I think they created an initiative.
Yeah. So they're saying that, in fact, let's get the people who... protester who are unhappy with the book on stage with the author and let the discussion happen.
I think, like most white feminists, that she just wants to be the head of the table. She does not want to be sidelined.
Do you think
at the end of the day, it is what it is. She does not want to be sidelined to actually give a voice to the very people that she, you know, claimed to, you know, highlight their struggles. What was it? She wanted to eliminate the brown faces.
The afterword in the book kind of makes things worse.
It does make things worse
because you read it, and her justification for doing the book is is kind of based on the presumption that no one else can.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the thing that an awful
lot of Latinx writers. And now that it's come to light that a lot of Latinx authors can do the same work as her, and perhaps better, she is afraid of losing her clout in the streets.
All right, well, clear what both of you think, both Patrick Frayn and Giamaka Eniamadi there, speaking to us about American Dirt. The book itself by Janine Cummins is published by Tinder Press.